Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tuesday, April 27th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes, our tri-beat writer. Hoynesy, the Indians walk it off last night in the series opener against Minnesota. A really good feeling after that win, because not only did they do it against a division rival, they came back late twice in the game, really. And really they did it. They saved Zach Plesac. He didn't get the win, but he came out and pitched his heart out. And if they would have lost that game, that would have really felt like a frustrating moment because of just how good Zach Plesac was.
Yeah, Plesac was really, after the two starts against Chicago, when he gave up 12 earned runs on 14 hits in not even six innings, this was really a bounce back start for him, like 7.2 7.7 2/3 innings, three runs, five hits, not a lot of strikeouts, four strikeouts, one walk. But you did something good when your teammates give you a shout out in their Zoom calls, before they even start talking about themselves. So, I think that everybody was pulling for this guy.
Right. Yeah. And that's sort of the idea there, is that it's no matter how bad the most recent two starts were, I think everybody in the clubhouse really does have is in Zach Plesac's corner in terms of wanting him to see him succeed. And that was certainly the case last night. Really, the story was two late home runs. Jose Ramirez ties the game with a home run after the Indians had given up the lead late. And then Jordan Luplo in extra innings walks it off. He's got the two most recent Indians walk-off home runs. He did so late last season against Chicago in that series where the Indians really rolled over the White Sox and made it into the playoffs last year. For Luplo, he leads the team now in home runs. That was six, and he's got three against right-handers.
Yeah, that was a statement home run, I think. And after the game, Tito said, this is a guy that looks like looks like he wants to play against righties and lefties, and I'm not going to get in his way. We're just going to kind of turn him loose. At least that's the impression I got. And on a team that's been struggling for offense, why not? This is a guy that looks like he's ready to take off and become an everyday player, and which is something in the outfield particularly the Indians have been lacking.
So the Indians chose Eric Gonzalez over Gio Urshela, cut Urshela loose, and he bounced around, eventually ended up with the Yankees. Then they traded Gonzalez to Pittsburgh in exchange for Luplo. And now after a couple of seasons, Luplo looks like he could be, at least for now, their answer in right field.
Yeah, right field. He can play center field. I mean, this guy's hitting leadoff. He's hitting second. I mean, it's interesting to see just him swing the bat and, just the confidence he has. He was talking about that last night after the walk-off. He said he just came to camp with the mindset that he was going to, prove that he could play against righties and lefties, that he was talented enough to be an everyday guy. And he's taken advantage of the opportunities. And, Tito is pretty strict left right guy. He likes platoons. You know, he likes to get the platoon advantage, but you know, Luplo is showing him that he can, you know, he can handle any kind of pitcher.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned confidence for Jordan Luplo. I mean, this is a guy who, when he was at Fresno State, he was what, the WAC player of the year. I mean, he obviously faced right-handed pitching back then. He was also on a team with Aaron Judge. I mean, this is, yeah. He was a teammate of Aaron Judge. He's got confidence. He's got a little bit of that swag. Right now, who would you rather have stepping into the box against a right-handed pitcher, Aaron Judge or Jordan Luplo?
Yeah. I mean, we saw Judge over the weekend and, you know, the Indians pitched to him. I mean, he had a couple doubles, but he didn't hit the ball out of the park. He walked a lot, but you know, Luplo is coming on, and it's exciting to see that work or see that, you know, happen. And, you know, hats off to the Indian scouts who kind of made what at the time was a minor deal, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, sometimes we sort of get on Tito about sticking with veteran guys too long or giving guys too much leash. This is maybe an example of where it kind of worked out or hey, and the sample size is small. Trust me. I know he could go in the tank any time now, but we've seen it through. He's played in 17 games. This is the most home runs he's ever hit through the first 17 games of a season in his career. You know, it would not surprise me to see him get run out there, you know, pretty much on a regular basis now for a while, as it appears that they've moved Naylor into first base and sent Jake Bowers to the bench.
Yeah. You know, and Naylor had a nice night, you know, on Monday, three hits, had a double off the left field wall, played well at first base. Yeah, maybe this is the next move, Joe.
You know, and you mentioned Josh Naylor, you mentioned Franmil Reyes also really sort of tearing it up at home. Reyes among the league leaders. In fact, I think he leads the American League in home slugging percentage and home OPS. Another hit last night. We talked about him running the bases all weekend, but really the numbers are sort of eye-popping. At home, he's hitting .405. And he's got a 1289 OPS. That's pretty outstanding for, you know, a guy who swings and misses as much as Franmil Reyes does.
Yeah, and he had, you know, he had a hit last night. I think he drove in a – well, no, he didn't drive in a run, or did he drive? Yeah, he had an RBI single last night. So, yeah, he's, you know, he's kind of establishing himself at home. Those are quirky things. You know, sometimes guys hit on the road, some guys – and he hit at home and vice versa. But, you know, we'll see. I'm sure this is a good sign for Franmil. And like we always say, he's a streaky hitter like most guys are. And he's just got to extend the streak here. You know, how long can he keep this going?
Okay. Yeah. And it's weird to see, you know, when he does go out on the road, his reaction in different parks. I don't know. In Chicago, he looked lost. He looked totally confused at the plate for almost the entire series, from what I could see. And then as soon as he got back to Cleveland, you know, things just sort of clicked back in. So, baseball, I don't know how to explain that. The Indians bullpen, another bright spot for Terry Francona and the club, as they've now won two games in a row. Emmanuel Clase closed out the game last night, or didn't close out. He pitched in the ninth inning, didn't give up a run. James Karinchak hasn't given up an earned run. Neither of them have given up an earned run all season. But James Karinchak's strikeout numbers are continuing to move in the direction that when he first got on our radar as a, you know, a minor league pitcher in Double A with those sort of video game strikeout numbers. We're starting to see that now translate over in Cleveland.
Yeah. I mean, this guy has struck out seven of the last eight guys he's faced. I think he's got 18 strikeouts in 10 and a third innings for the season. Like you said, Joe, he hasn't allowed an earned run yet, either as Class A. You know, that's a dynamic back end of the bullpen, no matter how you use them. And as Francona says, you know, time after time, you know, he doesn't have to have pinpoint command. All he has to do is get his stuff in the strike zone, and it's so good and has so much movement that he can get people out with a curveball or a fastball.
Right. And yeah, and that's why sometimes in moderation, you might not be upset with a walk here or there from James Karinchak, because the next guy in the box, a fresh slate, he has a chance to strike out pretty much anybody in the league with the stuff that he's got. So, you know, his fastball plays mid to upper 90s and that curveball falls off the table. It'll be interesting to see if they can sustain this sort of success. I mean, these are young guys. So we know that there's trouble somewhere lurking. We don't know when it'll pop up. Hopefully it doesn't pop up in a situation where it costs them, a game or two. But right now, Class A and Karinchak forming a back end of the Indians bullpen, unlike one that we've seen in the last 20 years. And then you throw Shaw in there and he comes out throwing changeups. Where did that come from?
Yeah, that's part of his new repertoire, I guess. He said he wouldn't confirm or deny that he was throwing a changeup last night.
He's like a KGB agent in his post game. He's denying knowledge of anything. It's like, well, yeah, Statcast tells us you threw a changeup. I mean, we can see the slow-mo replay. You got three fingers on the ball. We know it's a changeup. So, okay, why are you being cagey about it? I don't get it.
I think he was just having some fun, but he played a big role in that game last night. He came in the eighth inning with runners on, first and second. The Twins had just taken a 3-2 lead, and he comes and relieves Plesac and, gets the dangerous Nelson Cruz out to end the inning, and then pitches, a 1-2-3 ninth inning. And Francona said, without Shaw, they couldn't have been able to use Class A in the 10th there to kind of nail that win down.
There's never been a better time to register for Indians Subtext and get all your Cleveland Indians news with updates from Cleveland.com reporters Paul Hoynes and Joe Noga. Get on board now by going to joinsubtext.com/Cleveland Indians. Our subscriber-based service gives you the latest news, analysis, and more from the Indians. For $3.99 a month, you get everything we're hearing from the team and the first word before things are announced. We text you big breaking news directly to your phone, even before it's up on Cleveland.com. And you can text us directly with your questions and opinions on everything from the team's name to that day's lineup. And it's the only way to get your questions and comments on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Why sign up? Hear from one of our subscribers.
I'm Jeff Heinerson. I grew up there in Milan, Ohio, but I now live out in Idaho. I've been here for 40 years, and my son was born and raised here, and I got him as a birthday present your subtext. And I wanted to thank Paul for sending him a birthday greeting and to tell you that he is really enjoying the subtext. He's not from Ohio, but because he grew up with me, he's hardcore Indian fan. So thanks again.
Jeff and all of our Indian subtext subscribers agree. There's a lot going on with the Indians, and the best way to keep up is with Indian Subtext. Go to joinsubtext.com/Cleveland Indians, or better yet, text Hoynesy at 216-208-4346. Again, that's 216-208-4346. We look forward to hearing from you on Indian Subtext.
All right, let's talk about the way that this roster sort of sets up and is composed right now. The big name that's out there and the big, sort of question mark right now is Sam Henches. Sam Henches picked up his first win on Sunday when he came in relief of Tristan McKenzie against the Yankees. But this is a guy that I think Terry Francona, Chris Antonetti, they want to keep him stretched out. They don't want to make him, a full-time bullpen guy. Just in case they have an emergency, they need something from the alternate starter from AAA as far as a starter goes. What are they going to do with Sam Henches? Do you see him pitching in another game in this series and then maybe being sent option down when AAA starts their season next week?
Yeah, I listened to Antonetti and Francona talk about Henches, yesterday. I came away with my head spinning. I don't know. I think it was like a smokescreen. But I think what you said, Joe, I would think he's going to get sent down before they go out on the road on this trip to Chicago and Kansas City. That just makes sense to me. I mean, you know, Tito basically said it, you know, that you don't want to put a guy in the bullpen and, you know, hurt his development. And like you said, I mean, what if they need a spot starter? If there's a doubleheader, are they run into weather in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks? Who knows? I mean, the next month or so, and they need a guy to come up and make a spot starter, start one of the first or second games in the doubleheader. You got to have Henkes, you know, stretched out. And if you put him in the bullpen, I think, you know, as Francona said, you kind of limit his development because he probably won't use all his pitches, especially if you throw hard like Sam does.
Right. That's the big key right there is you can get a guy stretched out in a matter of a week or so or whatever, but as far as him, a young guy losing the need to use any of his pitches, that's sort of the thing that scares me the most about keeping Henkes in the bullpen, even as sort of a one-time thing for this season. If he throws hard, he throws a good curveball that he has good command of it. He needs those secondary pitches to use. He needs his changeup and his slider. His slider is the one that he's working on. So if you don't put him in a situation where he needs to throw that the third time through a lineup, then he's going to stop using it, become a two-pitch pitcher out of the bullpen, and might be very effective, but you're cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah, I think you can be short-sighted, you know, and you don't want to – I mean, they've done a great job developing starters, and one of the reasons they've been able to do that is they've been slow on the trigger to move these guys to the bullpen, you know, because, you know, a guy like Plesac, he's great stuff, you know, you would see him immediately and you think, hey, he could help us in the bullpen right now. But, you know, you also have to have the long view and say, well, yeah, he could help you in the bullpen right now, but what about if we wait another year and let him develop as a starter and then put him in the rotation? And, you know, a starter is going to give you more length and be more valuable than a one inning bullpen guy in most cases, I would think.
So the way that this sort of impacts the roster right now, they're carrying 14 pitchers. They've got 9 in the bullpen, and a move pretty much should be made at some point. Like you said, probably before they go out on the road to this trip back to Chicago and then Kansas City. I gotta believe an outfield bat, somebody like a Daniel Johnson, whoever's ready out of that group of 5 or 6 guys. Daniel Johnson, Oscar Mercado, Bradley Zimmer, Harold Ramirez, Ben Gamel. The most likely out of that group, I keep saying it over and over again, is Daniel Johnson. But, you know, who knows what they're thinking. It sounded like Mercado was the furthest away out of any of those guys.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was interesting because, the first few alternate box scores we saw, Mercado was hitting the ball like crazy. And then we asked Francona about Zimmer and Mercado, how they were doing. And he said the results have been mixed. So, you know, obviously they're seeing something, you know, they're Andy Tracy and his staff in Columbus are seeing something that, you know, the box score isn't revealing. So we'll have to see, you know, and I would think they would, you said you named that group right, Joe. I think those are the 4 or 5 guys they'll make a selection from, or who knows? Maybe can Bobby Bradley be up here? I'm not sure. I don't know, but they've got to get another bench guy for Tito, I would think.
Yeah, and I got to think if you've got Josh Naylor, Jake Bowers, and Bobby Bradley on the same roster, who's playing? That's my big question right there. So, and then you got to think Yu Chang is sitting there waiting to play against lefties as well. So, all I know is. It's going to be they're going to add a position player. Also right now, Kyle Nelson is up at least through the end of this Minnesota series. So they've got an extra lefty in the bullpen right now because Nick Wickren's wife, Ashley, just had baby boy Camden the other night. And Nick posted a couple pictures on social media. Their family grew. Jackson's got a big brother now, or a little brother now. So Jackson is a big brother. fun time for them. But right now you've got Kyle Nelson and Sam Henches in the bullpen. It's easy and neat to want to just press the button and have some sort of four-headed, monster at the back end of that bullpen that throws 100 miles an hour with Sam Henches teamed with Class A and Karinchak and Shaw and, just dare teams to try and score late against them. But I think the patient, the long-term view is probably the best approach with Henches. And he probably won. If it's a choice between, hey, I could be a starter, maybe at the end of this year or next year, if I go back down now, I think he would choose that, obviously.
Yeah. I don't know. Guys love to be in the big leagues. That's what it's all about. So, but I mean, I think you're right, Joe. I think, cooler heads would probably prevail there. And, who knows? I mean, we've seen, if the Indians are fortunate enough to get in the postseason and, they don't need a Henches in the rotation. What a weapon he'd be to bring right. in late, yeah. Right. Gosh almighty. That would be fun to watch. That was, and I think that's what he's planted that seed in their mind that, one way or the other, he can help them.
Yeah. We've seen, speaking of making the playoffs, what did you think of the first time seeing the Twins last night? They're a bit of a mess right now, aren't they?
They're struggling. I mean, they had that COVID outbreak on the West Coast that, put Max Kepler and about two or three other guys on the DL or the injured list. Simmons just came back, their shortstop. He played last night. They've lost, 12 of the last 14 games. I mean, they're struggling there. And, the Indians are getting them at the right time. And now, when take this series and, get some momentum and get out on the road again and play Chicago and Kansas City. That's going to be a big test.
Right. Yeah. They thought they were getting the Yankees at the right time. Turns out the Yankees, at least, knuckled up and got it done against them last weekend. But, since then the Yankees have also gone back down south. So, yeah, it's funny how the timing of the schedule works out. The next week in Kansas City should be an interesting series as well. All right, heading forward, looking at tonight, who we got on the mound for the Indians tonight? I think it's Logan Allen.
No, it's Aaron Savali's going.
Oh, Savali tonight, yeah. Allen tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, he is going against Kenta Maeda, who just really owned the Indians last year. 3-0, 0.50 ERA, but Maeda has struggled a little bit coming out of the gate here. So it'll be interesting to see, what kind of adjustments the Indians can make against Maeda.
All right, we'll be back with you again with an update on tomorrow's Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.